If you take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to continue to speak about the subject of prayer. And yes, I'm going to incorporate something about Mother's Day. Don't worry about that. Yes, it is Mother's Day. I have not forgotten that it's Mother's Day. Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. And if you're not physically able, it's okay. We understand. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read responsively we're going to go for 13 verses today, amen? Here we are in Luke chapter 11. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me on the even verses out loud as we read. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And when he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when he said..." I keep adding that word, I don't know why. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So far, every sermon on Sunday mornings this year that I have preached has been on the topic and subject of prayer. You say, "Boy, that's redundant." Or maybe you're just a lazy pastor and you don't want to study any kind of a new topic so that you can do other things. You're supposed to say no. You're supposed to not agree with that. Okay. All right. Now, as I started out on this year, I said to you that this topic of prayer is a very broad and expansive topic. There is much in our scriptures about talking with God. Think about this. Does God want to talk with us? Yes. Does he want us to talk with him? Okay? And since God's the one that gets to define things, right? Guess what? The Bible is full of not only principles, but examples of us communing with God. That we should, and how to. You say, "Well, I know how to pray. I've been praying for years and years and years." Okay, that may be true. But could you ever think of something that none of us in our earthly form are ever going to be able to master anything? You understand? Okay? Anybody in here over the age of 60? Raise your hand. Come on. Oh, I honor you. By the way, those of you that are new here today, I love old things. Okay, thank you. Amen. I love you, brother. Amen. That's good. No, I do. I love old things. I'm an old thing lover. I am. So all of you should feel loved, okay? No, I love old things. But then, you know, the more experience we got, we surely get better at some things. But how many of you that just raised your hand, you say, Pastor, yes, I'm a student of the Bible. I'm a student of the Scriptures. And I have mastered prayer. See? Isn't that true? I'm telling you, this is something we've got to work at, folks. If we're going to be anything close to what God wants us to be, we have got to hone this craft, if you will, of prayer. We've got to work at it. We've got to develop it. We've got to work, practice at it. We've got to incorporate new concepts, new ideas, new principles. And I'm not saying new to the Word of God. I'm saying new from the Word of God to us. See, because another thing that I preach and teach here is I believe that this book is inexhaustible to the human mind. Because it is expansive, and this is not. Yes, I'm speaking for myself. And most of the rest of us too. Okay? Listen, it is so critical that we turn to the Scriptures and try to understand what God wants, what God says, how God directs and guides and gives to us that which we need. See, I don't need anything from God. That's your first mistake. The definitions for life and society should come from this book. The definitions and the concepts and principles for life as we know it should come from this book. How to live from the book. How to act from the book. How to pray from the book. This Word of God, this Bible that we hold in our hands should be the final authority for all matters of faith and practice, and may I add, life. It should be your everything. Did you know that what I think doesn't matter anything compared to this book? And what you think doesn't matter anything compared to this book. It's what God's Word says, and that's how it should be. So when we look at the things of Lord, teach us to pray, and we look at the elements of prayer that we've studied so far, our Father, recognizing God as our Father, as the revered one, the beloved one, the one who is the reason we have life, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is revered. His name is reverenced. His name is to be feared. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is Almighty God. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is paramount. The kingdom of God is we, if you will, born into the kingdom of God through the blessed Son of God, are the servants of God in His kingdom. That's how it's supposed to be. Thy will be done. As we look to this fourth element here in the introduction of the prayer, you understand that I've taught, some of you may not know this, but I teach that prayer is an Oreo cookie. It is. How many of you love the beloved Oreo cookie? The beloved Oreo cookie just turned 100 years old, I think last year, whatever it is, so it's like 101 years old. The beloved Oreo cookie. How many of you Oreo cookie fans? Okay? Alright. I am not just an Oreo cookie fan, I am the mega stuff Oreo cookie fan. Alright? And before they made those things, you had to take like 5 Oreo cookies apart and put all the filling together and then eat the cookie. That's what you do. But anyways, No, Oreo. So what is true about an Oreo cookie? It has two identical outsides. Right? And guess what? In the Lord's Prayer, if you will, which I hate calling it that, but the model prayer, recorded in Matthew, recorded in Luke, we understand that there's a cookie on each end. And guess what the cookie's all about? It's all about God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the first cookie. At the end of it, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, in Matthew chapter 6, the other record of the model prayer that the Lord gives, he says this, at the end, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's part of the stuff, the filling. Then he says this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the other part of the cookie. So we go in, it's all about God. We go out, it's all about God. And in the middle is the stuff that us humans crave. Because that's all about us. Right? A lot of times when people eat an Oreo cookie, they eat all the stuff and throw the cookies out. I don't remember who it was. It might have been somebody here. No, it wasn't somebody here. It was another church. they were on a missions trip, and they were visiting a missionary family. And the missionary wife, she brought out a plate of what looked like Oreo cookies. Only they were a little bit odd. There was no filling in them. And so they started eating the cookies, and the lady said, "Oh, these are such lovely cookies. What do they call?" She goes, "Well, they're Oreos." And she goes, "But there's no filling in them." And the mother's like, she got this look on her face. And she looked at her son. He had gone in the kitchen and licked off all the cookies, put them back together and put them on the plate, and served them to the guests. Oh boy. What a story. But you know, that's what we do. Well, when we pray, think about this. Most of the time when we pray, we don't care about God's will. We don't care that God is honored. We don't care that God is worshipped. We just have needs. We have desires. We have wants. We need God to do something for us. And we lick up that filling and we throw the cookies away. That's not how it's supposed to be. If all an Oreo cookie was a bag of filling, they just sell bags of filling. It's all about the cookie. When we have prayer, it's not just bags of filling. It's not God give me my daily bread. God forgive me my sin. God forgive those who are against me. God deliver me from evil. God keep me and protect me. Take care of me. Me, 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 me. All I want is the filling. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is all about Him. It's all about Him. That's why this phrase, spoken in the book of Luke by the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken in the book of Matthew, as he says this in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If we look back in the book of Luke, we understand that the same thing is said. He says, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. The will of God is paramount. Paramount. And when we pray, God's will should be at the top of the list. Now, I had several other examples, and there are many in scriptures. You can go to Psalm 40. You can go to Psalm 143. You can go to Matthew 26, and you can read Jesus' example. Also in Mark 14 and in John chapter 5, you understand that the Bible is full of examples of the will of God taking precedence over man's will over and over and over again in Scripture. But I thought it was appropriate that we turn to Luke chapter 1. Just go back a few passages here in the book of Luke, a few chapters. We're introduced to a young lady here in Luke chapter 1 named Mary. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. As we look at this salutation here and we see what was told to Mary, you understand in verse 29 it says, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. If you think about your life and your interaction with God, there's some wild things that run through our minds, right? God, how can you accomplish this? What's going to happen? How are you going to do this? You know, these things. And as she's either sitting there or maybe she's kneeling, I don't know what particular state she's in physically. But as she's there and she's hearing all of these words and she's just think about what it would be like being spoken to like this, right? I'm just a wild experience. And she's pondering these things. And later on, we know she ponders these things in her heart at the birth of Christ and all these things. She's a very thoughtful young lady and she's thinking about these things and she's like, okay, well, we know the question she asks here in verse 34. She said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She doesn't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. She's been taught as a little Jewish girl that the Messiah would come one day, born of a virgin. This is taught in their culture. She kind of maybe was getting the idea. Perhaps she was putting two and two together, connecting the dots, saying, oh my, this might be me. Whoa. That's modern terms, you know. I don't think little Jewish girls talked like that back then. But just think about what's going on in her mind. What's this going to do to me? What are people going to say? What are my parents going to say? What are my cousins going to say? What's Joseph going to say? Well, hold on, Angel. This is a lot to process. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. How is all this going to work? Do you understand that we in our human form don't know a lot of what's going to happen? It's hard to process all the pros and the cons and the cause and effect of life and its decisions and and the choices we make and the things that happen to us and the circumstances we experience. Do you understand? We formulate these things. We compute all these things. We put all these things together. But I want you to listen, and this has to do with the message today about the elements of prayer. And I couldn't think of a better example, especially on a Mother's Day, to go through this. If you go down here, the angel explains that her cousin Elizabeth has received a son in her old age. She was barren, but God had given her a son. He says in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want you to hold on to that verse and hide it in your heart, because as we bow our knees and we bow our heads before Almighty God and we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Nothing is impossible as long as it's with God. These things don't have to make sense. the things that happen and there'll be experience in life. We try to analytically solve the problem, put the equation together, connect the dots, look ahead to the future. If I do this and I do this, then it will result in this. We calculate everything out. We make every plan. We make every step. We make everything make sense so that it will be successful. Listen, I'm not against all that. But a lot of times we leave out the fact that God's will is paramount. And it doesn't matter how it works out. And it doesn't matter how it comes out. Because with God, nothing is impossible. With God, everything works out. You understand that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If we get cancer, now, I'm not making fun of anybody. Please understand. We freak out. Right? Don't you think God knows? And if it's for His purpose, I should be okay with that. Come on now. But because I'm not okay with it, right? That means I don't care about His will and His purpose. You see, that's really harsh, Pastor. It's not harsh. And please, I have all the utmost sympathy for those that go through difficulties and struggles. Those sorrows and those hurts, they are real. But let's step outside of ourselves and be like the model prayer says we're supposed to be, and let's put God's will first. This young lady, presented with this impossible thing, has this comment. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Wow. Wow. Can I translate that into the idea of what we're talking about today? Thy will be done. That's what it is. Do you suppose she was anxious about what people would say about her? I suppose. Do you suppose she was anxious about what Joseph would think? I suppose. Do you suppose she was nervous about what her family would do? Yes. Do you suppose she had an inkling in her mind that she might be brought up before some council in maybe the Sanhedrin or the local synagogue and maybe even be cast out of her family? I suppose. She may have thought, I don't know if I'm ready to be a mother yet. I especially the mother of God. What in the world? I mean, all these impossible things. But she didn't respond that way. She responded, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Now, I was teasing about 3 o'clock. It'd be more like 2:30. As we come to the Lord in prayer, as we humble ourselves before Almighty God, I hope you understand that recognizing who God is, our Father, fearing God, hallowed be thy name, being a servant that cares about the kingdom of the King, thy kingdom come, all very important factors of recognizing who God is. But this last one, it's kind of the last one, but not the least one. The one that says, "Thy will be done," has got to course through our veins. It's got to be exactly how we feel. God, if that means I have to die, your will should be done. God, that means if I have to suffer, your will should be done. God, that means that I have to come outside of myself and go beyond that which I think I'm able or possible. then thy will be done, whatever it takes, whatever it is, however far it goes, your will is what I want. You say, this is all part of prayer? Yeah. Then may I say it's the most important part of prayer. The will of God is to be done. Let me ask you a question. How good of a servant is a servant that doesn't accomplish the will of the king or the master? A big old zero. Remember the parable about the talents? One was given 5 talents. One was given 2 talents. One was given 1 talent. The master goes away. The one that had 5 made another 5. The one that had 2 made another 2. The one that had 1 took it and put it in a napkin, buried it in the ground. Well done. Well done, thou wicked and slothful. Remember those? Cared about the will of God. Cared about the will of God. Did not care about the will of God. It does matter. It is important. The will of God. As we close, don't get your hopes up. The closing is... That was all the introduction, by the way. The closing is going to be quick, I promise. Here are technically 4 things. Because the 4th thing is the conclusion. But that's all right. The first one is this. What's the will of God? Salvation is the will of God. Wasn't that a lovely presentation? The folks at Bible Tracks Incorporated, they do a great job with their materials and with their productions. I don't know if you know this, but the man's voice, that was Brother Micah's voice. He's got one of those rich, deep bass voices, boy. Didn't that just kind of vibrate through you? Did you remember the picture of the man kind of bowing his head in the front pew of the church there? Did you remember that picture? That was Brother Micah. That was a picture of him. But anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, that's gospel tracks. Did you understand that the salvation message was given there? And by the way, if you're not born again today, you can come to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You can know Him as we should know Him. You can have eternal life, and because eternal life is not through a church. It's not through an inheritance, if you will, of man's doing. It's through an inheritance of God, God's doing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You can trust Christ today. But you want to know what? The will of God is salvation. Salvation is the will of God. Remember this verse? In Hebrews chapter 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared Me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of Me. Oh, listen to this. To do Thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What's the will of God? Salvation of mankind. Redemption of mankind. From cover to cover, this book is a record of the redemptive work of God. God wants us to be saved. What's the will of God? When we pray, thy will be done, you know what God's will is? That the harvest be brought in. You know what God's will is? That people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know who God wants to help accomplish that? You and me. Remember in the scriptures when Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He told them to pray, and then in the next chapter, he sent them out to harvest. Be careful. If you pray that the will of God may to be done, it might just be accomplished in you. As I sat at Trinity Baptist Church as an assistant pastor, I learned very quickly that in staff meeting, if you had this great grand idea of how to further the ministry and told the preacher about it at the staff meeting, guess what that automatically meant? You're going to do it. So guess what I had as a young staff member, less and less. I had less and less great ideas. Why? Because I was going to be the one to incorporate them. No, but think about it. Are we afraid to pray that God's will be done because we don't want to be the one sent out to do it? But we should long for the will of God to be accomplished. What does God want? God's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember in John 4, as the disciples, you've heard my teaching about this, I'm not going to reteach it, but remember at the woman at the well, Jesus had a divine appointment with her. And as the disciples came back from town, not having talked to the woman, not having talked to the townspeople, they were only concerned about their bellies. Jesus rebukes them when he comes back. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. You understand that God wants us to live on doing his will. That should be your sustenance. That should be your nutrition, is accomplishing the will of God. You understand that God wants us not to be lazy, but to finish his work and to do his work. Not only does salvation, the will of God, but service is the will of God. I want you to think about how simple this is. Who is he? The king, the master. Who are we? The servants. What does a king or a master do? Rule everything. What do the servants do? They do everything. Okay, this is very simple. So, what is the will of the master or the king? For things to be done by the servants. See how simple this is? This is super elementary. What is God's will? Salvation is God's will. What is God's will? Service is God's will. Listen to John chapter 7. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? You understand that as servants of God, Ephesians tells us to do it in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. When we pray, not my will, but thine be done. When we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we ought to be doing it from the heart. It's not just tongue in cheek, right? It's not just something we say. It's not just something we recite. Do we, as the servants of the Most High God, want His will to be done so much that we'll go do it? We'll go preach the gospel to every creature. We'll go hand out a gospel tract. We'll volunteer at the local church. We'll come and be a part of the services. We'll teach a Sunday school class. We'll serve in the nursery. We'll ride the bus route. We'll go out and mow the church lawn and come in and vacuum the floors and greet people and witness to people and serve in the choir and all. We'll just be a servant doing whatever God wants done. Hear my Lord, send me. God, I'll do anything. I'll be whatever servant you want me to be. But I'm going to serve the Lord. Remember what Joshua said? Me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. You do what you want. You go serve the gods on the other side of the flood if you want to. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Another thing that's God's will is the sanctification of His servants. Did you know that God would rather use a clean vessel than a dirty one? Oh, please don't get me wrong, folks. Our individual righteousness, if you will, or holiness, has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing at all. But it has everything to do with the will of God. Because I am a servant, I want to be the cleanest, holiest, most righteous, diligent servant that I can be. Not so that I can be named among the best servants, but that so I can serve my God to the best of my ability. Why? Because it's all about Him. It's not about me. We should want to be holy. We should want to be pure. We should want to do these things. Remember what Romans says. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the old-fashioned Baptist preacher. Oh, wait, that's not what it says. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. I should be a weirdo in the world's eyes. A peculiar people. I should not look like them. I should not talk like them. I should not act like them. I should not because of Him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, listen to this, what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Sanctification. Now, in closing, you can get your hopes up. What puts us all together is the true heart of thy will be done. If you'd like to, turn your Bible to James chapter 4. We've gone over this in an evening service series. I don't remember if it was Sundays or Wednesdays. James chapter 4, verse 6. The word of God says this, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, let your joy and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. What did Mary say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, and we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, behold, the servant of the Lord, to do your will. Let your will be done in my life, Lord. Let your will become my will, so that I do it according to what you purpose, not what I purpose. Thy will be done.